The Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. For many seasons, Jerry Ryan was a science fiction icon as Seven of Nine on Star Trek Voyager. And then she walked away from the genre. But why, and what brought her back to science fiction in the new sci-fi series, Helix? We'll get answers to that. Plus, Caliber is back, and finally, a New York City comic book convention. Let's get to The Point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
Actress Jerry Ryan is back in the world of science fiction with a story arc running right now on Helix on the Sci-Fi Network. I sat down with Jerry, and the first thing I ask is, what brought her back to this show?
You know, it was fun. Well, the concept of the show, to begin with, was sort of intriguing to me. I hadn't seen any of it at that point, but it was just being shot. And I loved, you know, the people that were involved in it. So that was all really cool. And then when I sort of was hearing a little bit more about the character and I was seeing how she was written, then it was fun. And you know what? It's fun. This is my sort of first foray back into sci-fi in a number of years. So it was nice. It was a lot of fun to get back into it.
So after being Seven of Nine, did she purposely stay away from science fiction?
In the very beginning, when I had first ended Voyager, then yes, that was a conscious decision. Because one of my concerns when I signed on to Voyager to begin with was that Star Trek is kind of notorious for its actors getting pigeonholed and not really being able to break out and do other things. And so that was a big concern of mine in the beginning, which, thank God, has turned out to be completely unfounded, and you know, I've been very lucky. More recently, it's just because I go where the interesting roles are, and this was the first one that really sort of caught my interest.
She admits she does like the genre.
You know, it's funny. When I started on Voyager, I had never, ever been interested in science fiction. It just wasn't my genre to watch. And now my son grew up loving Star Trek and loving Star Wars and all of that. And I just was never really interested. And now I've got a daughter who's now almost six. And so I started watching things with her big brother showing her Star Wars, for example. And she loves it. She's obsessed with Star Wars. And I became a big fan of it through her eyes, watching it with her. And I've really started to enjoy it. So we have a great time. And so, yeah, I'm actually getting into science fiction now as an adult, which is really kind of crazy. At this point in my life, to start to be a fan. And all the, you know, Avengers and Iron Man and all of those movies I love. So, yeah, it's fun. Discovered a new interest.
With a show like Helix, it has so much story to be told. I wonder if it's tough to keep the actors on point without letting them know too much about what's coming up down the road. I talked to executive producer and showrunner Steve Maida.
Some of it we're just trying to kind of keep the mysteries in, obviously, and we're trying to help the actors as much as we can while still not revealing, you know, everything at the end of the day. And part of it is, you know, it's a work in progress. That's the thing about a series, is you don't have everything figured out from, you know, even the halfway point. We're still working through things. And, you know, we knew where her character was going, but you know, other things came up in the breaking of the show. So we tried to give as much direction as we possibly could.
Another thing that appeals to Jerry is the action.
Yeah, it's not my first taste of it either. I mean, I did Mortal Kombat, and I've done some other roles with a little bit of action, but here and there. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I always enjoy those things.
She told me she's especially enamored working with series regular Hiro Sanada.
That man is unbelievable. I was in awe of him. I still am in awe of him. The man is a ninja. Throw the book at his head, and I have to throw it directly at his face. And there, you know, it's on me. I can't, like, pretend to throw it. I have to wail it at him, and he's standing like 6 feet away from me. And I was a wreck shooting the scene. I was so nervous. I was like, dude, I have no aim. I can't. He's like, just throw it. Just do it. Just right at my face. Just go. And there's cameras set up right behind him, and so he has to knock the book away, and we're worried about hitting the lens and all this expensive equipment. He never even blinked. Never flinched. Never breathed heavy. Nothing. Every take, he just batted it out of the way like it was nothing in the exact spot that it was supposed to land so it didn't hit any equipment. He is amazing.
So, under the promise of not revealing a lot, I asked Jerry to tell us what she could about her character.
I'm trying to tiptoe the line about not giving too much away, but she's certainly very driven, and she definitely has an agenda that she is there to do. Hitaki has gone off the rails. He's supposed to be finding them a virus and a cure, and he's screwed up. He's messing around and doing his own thing, and that's not okay. So she's there to fix it. And whatever she has to do to make that happen is what has to happen.
Music in Helix is a big player, and Steve told me that's all part of the plan.
Aside from the get-go, that we wanted to do some things a little bit differently and be unsettling, not only in, you know, storytelling and how we were shooting the show, but also in post and in how we cut the show and in music. And so part of that came from, I think, the whole Do You Know the Way of San Jose, which started the whole thing, came from Ron when we were sitting in post on the pilot. And that idea came from one of our other producers at Dector to use that song, and we bought it on iTunes and watched it just kind of temped in, and it was like, wow, that works really well. So it's something we had talked about. When we saw it, we thought it was great, and so that's why we, you know, continue to do it, and Fever is the perfect one. It's probably the best song we're using in the entire show.
Helix is intense, to say the least, with very few light moments. I asked Steve if that was intentional.
No, we want to keep up the intensity. There are light moments coming, but they tend to be kind of in the service. It's black humor, definitely. They tend to be in the service of keeping everything moving, and just sometimes you find those moments, you know, in the worst situations. So, yeah, we have 13 episodes, and we really want to our mantra was to keep the show moving, and so we want to have downtime, we want to have character time, but we definitely want to keep everything twisting and turning and keep you coming back for more, hopefully.
New episodes of Helix with Jerry Ryan every week on the Sci-Fi Channel. See more at sci-fi.com. Listen up, here we go with the latest in pop culture. They were certainly one of the most prolific publishers of the 90s, and one who gave us the first work of some great creators like Ed Brubaker, Brian Bendis, Michael Allard, and more. Caliber Comics is relaunching, in a sense, under a division of Caliber Entertainment, which is formed by original Caliber publisher Gene Reed, and another partner from Eagle One Media as well. Reed said the new company will focus on new and reprint graphic novels in both print and digital, and any physical comics they do will be done with an existing company. The game company Gale Force 9 has acquired licenses to produce materials based on some pretty popular TV shows, including Family Guy, Homeland, and Black Sails. The announcement was made a few days ago at Toy Fair. There'll be a series of three games planned for Family Guy, and also a board game based on Homeland as well, coming in the near future. The Black Sails game will more than likely launch when Black Sails' second series begins in January of next year. Meanwhile, the company already has games based on Sons of Anarchy and Spartacus in stores right now. While Fox won't really confirm it, it looks like the cast for the Fantastic Four reboot is pretty much in place. For several weeks now, it was known that Michael B. Jordan was pretty much a shoe-in for the part of Human Torch. Miles Teller, most recently in Divergent, will be playing Reed Richards. Kate Mara from House of Cards is Sue Storm, and Jamie Bell will also be Ben Grimm, the Thing, in the film. As we also told you a few weeks ago, the latest script for the project is one done by Simon Kinberg, who did the one for Days of Future Past. Owners of the Roku device got a boost this week with the addition of Showtime Anytime to Roku. Users of the streaming software platform who subscribe to Showtime now have unlimited on-demand access to live programming as well as the library of past shows. Speaking of Showtime, they've renewed Shameless for another season. That'll make five for that show. And House of Lies gets a fourth season renewal, as well as Episodes, which also had already got a renewal a few weeks back for another season. Despite a heap of snow, Toy Fair has been rolling along in New York City. Some of the more interesting things, of course, were at the Disney booth, where there were new figures announced for not only Guardians of the Galaxy, but Amazing Spider-Man 2 as well. And among the most interesting non-Disney products was a set of figures based on the FX TV series Archer. You should be able to get your hands on most of these cool things by at least the end of this year. Robert Kirkman is moving into the world of film, and he's taking along a familiar face. Kirkman is said to be a producer on a film called Air, and along with him, Norman Reedus from Walking Dead is also attached to the project. The Hollywood Reporter describes Air as a low-budget picture, and right now Sony is in negotiations to pick up the rights to distribute. In an interesting move to combat criticism of what New York Comic Con has become and what San Diego has been for almost a decade, Reed Pop, the folks who handle the New York Comic Con, are announcing a comic-only convention in New York City coming up this summer. The two-day event will be called Special Edition NYC, and it takes place at the Javits Center in New York. focusing only, as they say, on creators, artists, dealers, and publishers of comics. Bree says they're expecting around 15,000 attendees, a big difference to the 130,000 that went to New York Comic Con last fall. The official dates are the 14th and 15th of June in New York City. That's it for now. We're back in a few days, and we'll look at Bates Motel, headed into a second season, and Vera Farmiga, Emmy-nominated actress, talking about just exactly where Norma's going to go next. In the meantime, you can get all the pop culture you need at GetThePointRadio.com. Listen free on your desktop or your laptop there, or take us along on any mobile device, Android or Apple, with iNet Radio from iNetRadio.com. The podcast is in the iTunes Podcast Directory every few days and on websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com. And always follow us on Facebook and Twitter under The Point Radio. Have a good weekend. See you back here real soon.